Hello, welcome to another episode of Everything is Canon, the Cinelinks podcast. I'm your host, Steve Duncan. However you may have found your way here, thanks so much for tuning in. On this podcast, we invite authors from all genres onto the show to discuss their latest books and novels, as well as just about anything else that comes to mind. If there's an author you'd like to see on the show, email me at steve@cinelinks.com and I'll do my best to accommodate. Today in the show, we're talking to Ashley Shuttleworth all about her excellent debut novel, A Dark and Hollow Star, which is being described as the cruel prince meets City of Bones in this thrilling urban fantasy set in the magical underworld of Toronto that follows a queer cast of characters racing to stop a serial killer whose crimes could expose the hidden world of fairies to humans. This sometimes thrilling urban fantasy, sometimes murder mystery will stun you with ethereal world building, high stakes mortal and immortal adventure, and a main cast of characters you won't soon forget. We, of course, talk about all the excitement of releasing a debut novel, the journey it took to get here, and, of course, all that beautiful queer love. Warning, while we do our best to avoid spoilers, the odd minor detail may slip out. So, if you haven't read the book and don't wish to be spoiled at all, better stop listening now, but definitely double back after you've read it. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. Another reminder that this month is Black History Month, which means buying, pre-ordering, calling your libraries, demanding more titles from Black authors, rating, reviewing, social media boosts, basically all the ways you support white authors, just do that for Black authors as well. And you don't have to do it just about this month. You can do it all the time. That would be great. Ideally, it'd be nice if these actions went beyond 1 month, then we should all be supporting stories that affirm the lives of other people other than ourselves every single day of the year. All right. I pick the guests for this show, which means no matter what, I'm always excited. That's the baseline. That is absolutely true. They wouldn't be here if I didn't want to talk to them. But what is also true is that life is too short for bullshit. And sometimes, I'm just going to admit it, I'm a little more excited than others. This is one of those times. Ashley Shuttleworth copied me by being born in British Columbia and currently lives in Ontario. Yeah, we'll talk about that. They have a degree in English Lit from Trent University with an emphasis on Milton and the Romantic period. That would have come in handy for this book, as well as a focus on ancient history and classical studies also would have come in handy for this book. They've worked many jobs in their life, roles such as a bookseller for Indigo Bookstore. Awesome. A barista at Starbucks. Awesome. A teacher in South Korea. I've never done that, but it sounds awesome. And a wine merchant for their local wine store, which is super awesome. I love wine. Those are all things I love. We'll even talk about them probably. In their spare time, they enjoy cosplaying conventions, if you remember what those are, and gaming and adding to their ever-growing collection of prop swords, which is super cool. If they sound like the coolest human ever, that's because they are. And they're here today to talk about their debut book, A Dark and Hollow Star, which is described as the cruel prince meets City of Bones in this thrilling urban fantasy set in the magical underworld of Toronto that follows a queer cast of characters racing to stop a serial killer whose crimes could expose the hidden world of fairies to humans. I gave this book 5 stars. I absolutely love it. I'm absolutely Team Noss. Please welcome to the show, Ashley Shuttleworth. Hi, Ashley.
Hi, everyone.
Is that the greatest intro you've ever had?
I was literally about to say, that's like the greatest intro I've ever received for anything.
If you ever go back and listen to any other episodes, it's kind of my thing. I like a good intro. So
I did listen to a bit of Rebecca Coffendaffer's.
Rebecca is such a good. I love her so much. Mm. So great. Yeah. How are you doing, first of all?
I'm great.
Yeah.
I oscillate between I'm awesome and not so much. kind of like the up and down of debut months.
Well, that's one thing I want to talk to you about, because we know how these things go. And despite what some people might suggest, I mean, you don't wake up one morning, decide to write a book, and then the next day it's on shelves. No. It can be very, very, very long years, decades for some folks. Mm-hmm. It's almost here. We're days away almost now, a couple of weeks, but we're days away. Yeah. We'll just say we'll reduce it to days. How are you feeling emotionally?
emotionally.
Yes, let's go. Tell me all of your.
Oh boy, this is going to be a much longer.
It's going to be a long one. Yeah.
I'm good. I'm great. Like, it's obviously a very emotional time. And you've read the books. You can maybe kind of tell that I put a lot of feelings into it.
My favorite parts, in fact, yes.
Well, it's good to know. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
I mean, listen, obviously you're excited. Obviously you're a wreck.
I'm kind of a chill person right up until it requires me to be emotional, and then my body doesn't really know how to handle emotion. So then I kind of sleep for a week, and then a week later, then I'll be, crying or something.
Yeah, I mean, I think
there's a lot of crying to be.
There's a lot of crying. That's all right.
Happy and sad, but mostly there's a lot of crying.
That's okay. Crying's fine. That's a good emotion, and
it is.
Obviously, you know, you have tons of friends who have already released books. So I'm sure you're very well aware you're not going to get any sleep for sure the night before, maybe even a couple nights before, maybe not even now.
I booked off the week from work. Well, you know what? We're not going to do anything this week.
Well, you're not going to have time to do anything else too, right? I mean, that's the other thing too. You're going to be sort of like a fight or flight situation here.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how many you've done so far, but you've got who knows how many more things planned, right? Whether it's interviews, panels, whatever.
Mm-hmm. I do have a few things that are coming up that week that are still being finalized. You know, I have nothing like the last minute for anything.
No, of course not. Of course not. Well, you have a team, I'm sure, that's doing the best they can.
Yes, I have a lovely team. I'm so grateful for them.
What's interesting too, and like, obviously this is really dominated, but much of the conversation for the past 12 months is normally you'd be, and we'll, you know, we're both, one of our favorite things, both of our favorite things is conventions. I miss, like, I don't even want to bring it up because I'll start crying because I miss them so much.
But, I know.
But normally you'd be packing or getting close to packing because you would be a book tour, conventions, whatever have you. So marketing has had to change this year. And, you know, I always sort of sometimes tell people, like, great time to debut a book. And it's,
oh boy.
So, yeah, but you know, and again, how has that been going? You don't know any different, but you have enough friends who have released books that can, you know, sort of, you can lean on for sure. And although you don't have maybe the experience of releasing a book with, not in a pandemic. It seems weird to say. It's a weird thing to say. Yeah. You know, how has it been? Because I've said to a bunch of people, you know, if there is a silver lining, it's these, and I hope it sticks around a little bit, this digital way of marketing books for authors, the reach is 1,000-fold.
Yes.
So how has that been for you in just a purely digital sense?
Well, I'm not young. I'll preface everything by saying that. Like,
you're probably younger
30s.
Than me. I'm old. Don't worry. I'm 44.
Okay. So I'm younger than you. But I'm on the cusp of videotaping and recording was not the popular thing that it is now. So in the last 2 years, I have learned more skills than I have learned in like 30 years of life. Mm-hmm. So it's a learning curve. And, you know, there's, I think right now, because everyone is doing social media to promote everything, really.
Right.
Things kind of get drowned out a bit. But it's been wonderful to be able to do this at home. My life has not been as interrupted as it might be, like, as much as, oh my God, do I really want to go out and do author signings and go to bookstores and stuff. It's,
you know, yeah,
nice to be able to do it from my home.
One of the things that's interesting about it is because this, like, digital is the only way we communicate now. So there's no, trying to find like a delicate way to say this. Like it takes the, like, because normally, and this is what I love about conventions, not for myself, I want to see you at a table and a huge lineup of fans telling you how much they love you, telling you how much Dark and Hollow Star has changed. Of course, this is what I'm saying, right? Like how much Dark and Hollow Star has changed their life for the better. You know, how much they identify with any one of the characters in the book. You know, that's one of the huge perks of getting to do this is getting out there and meeting your fans, you know, in the flesh, and they get to tell you how great you are. And you're kind of, the pandemic has robbed you of that. And it fucking pisses me off because like, I love seeing that. That's one of the reasons I love conventions and going to panels. And my favorite parts of panels are like the comment and question periods afterwards, where fans get to, you know, they stand in line in the middle of the aisle and wait for way too long to ask a question, and somebody gets up and they're overwhelmed with emotion, and I get emotional seeing it. I think it's, I fucking love the interaction between fans and their heroes, and when they get a chance to meet them. And that's one of the things I feel that this year has really, you know, robbed so many, especially debut authors. You're looking forward to it so much. I feel so bad for you. I don't even have a question here. I'm just complaining for you.
It's all things. Because, you know, like you said, it's not something that happens overnight. So right. For a lot of, for everyone who's published a book, you kind of look forward to an experience. And, you know, when I sold this, back at the end of 2018, certainly this was not what I imagined my debut would be like at all.
Of course not. Okay, well, let's actually rewind a little bit then. How long were you shopping this story?
Okay, so I am not the standard model for this, I would like to say. It was actually not very long.
Okay, that's all right.
I did have a first book that I queried to get an agent, and that didn't go anywhere. But the second one, this one, A Dark and Hollow Star, found an agent very quickly, and then a few months after found an editor, and then kind of there was a lot of revise and resubmits. But that portion took a bit longer. So
how many revisions did you do?
Oh my God, that's a different topic altogether. For even before selling the book, I had something like, I want to say 8 significant revisions to A Dark and Hollow Star.
Now, though, was that?
It started with one point of view and it was 80,000 words.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Was that? Because sometimes, you know, I've seen authors say, they wrote their draft in like a day, but then did 100 revisions. Was that the case here with you? You wrote the draft fairly quickly and maybe that's why it ended up being revised so many times, or?
Yes, but there were other influences as well. I did write this fairly quickly because at the time of writing it, I was in between jobs.
Okay.
So I had a month where I could just sit down and do nothing but write.
Right.
And it was 80,000 words. So in a month for me at that time in my life, when I wasn't purely exhausted all the time, that was no problem.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot.
And then the agent that I submitted it to, she had, you know, there's different, not different visions, but things to add onto it. So I think, yes, essentially what the story's problem was is that it didn't have enough. Because every person that came to it, I submitted it to one agent, and then when that agent ended up leaving the industry, I got moved to my current agent, and then she also had, she's like, you know, you need more here, and then when I shopped it to my editor, she twice was like, okay, we need more to this, and then eventually she's like, you know what, we're gonna buy it because I can tell that you can do this, but we just need to add significantly more.
And you're like, we can't have Arlo and Natsuka kissing the entire time.
But
we need some action here.
So there did need to be more action in it, but what mostly I added was going from the one point of view, which was originally just Arlo's point of view.
Okay.
And then everybody else had their point of view added on top of it. Okay. Which then kind of like not changed the overall story, but you know, I had to expand things.
Sure.
So it became more, and we needed to add more fairy things, but then you add more fairy things, you have to add more human world things, balance it, and
where did this idea, did it start with Arlo, and if it did, sort of like when and where were you when Arlo popped into your head?
This story actually started before this book. The idea for this started the first one. Mm-hmm. And it was really with Nausicaa who it started with, even though she didn't get a point of view in this one till my editor came along.
Okay.
And it started with the like very last scene. I plot a lot of stuff to music, and it was just listening to a song at the time, oddly enough, from Pirates of the Caribbean, and kind of pictured the very end of this entire story, not just Dark and Hollow Star, but kind of the end scene for it all.
For it
is
all.
Where that started, yeah.
I'm going to, after we're done recording, I'm going to bug you to tell me what that is. one thing, I don't think I was able to find this out. Is this a duology or a trilogy?
It sold us two books right now.
Okay.
Ideally, it will be at least three books.
Right. Okay. You have enough story for three for sure.
Oh yes.
Once, and if not, it sounds like you got a lot more than that. Maybe
it was pitched to my editor as a four books.
Ooh.
But I have a feeling it will be condensed to three books.
Okay.
I think trilogies are much more the thing.
Yeah, they are a thing, aren't they? We'll get to
that. But books one and two have to do well enough for that.
So. Well, of course, let's not put, you know, yeah.
We're not going to count those eggs or whatever that thing is.
The cart before the horse or what?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. We're not.
It's like old timey talk. We'll get to the book specifically. Listen, if it ends up being 12 books, I mean, I'm in.
You know what? If someone wants to pay me to write 12 books in this, I would be just fine with that.
and I mean, and that's because the world building is very, very rich. And we'll talk about a little bit of that in a bit. So you just a little bit about yourself. It's true. I was born on Vancouver Island.
okay.
In Campbell River and live in Ontario now. Same
everybody
as
tends to like
it goes the other way. Right? I know
you're either coming from BC or you're going to BC.
Yeah, well, when I left there, I was very young, still was living with my parents, right? So you didn't have a choice, but
yeah.
Is that, were you born in BC then?
Yeah,
I
was born in Chilliwack.
Okay.
Military base.
Oh, right on.
In the military.
How was that?
Fine, honestly.
Yeah,
I was so young at that time that it never really clicked for me until, I'm gonna say, like 10 years ago. Until, you know, in conversation, I just be like, yeah, you know, it's just like waking up to the revival in the morning. I miss that. And people are like, what? And it's like, you know,
yeah,
isn't that how your morning started? Like, no.
No.
Oh. I don't pay attention to things very well.
And you've been in Ontario ever since, other than your trip to South Korea. Not trip, other than moving to South Korea. Yeah.
No, also England.
Oh, okay. To work or to sort of...
Work.
And that was teaching work as well?
No, I was actually au pairing.
Oh.
Over there, which is like nannying. I don't know, for anyone who doesn't know.
Yeah.
You basically have a host family that looks after you.
Yep.
And you look after their kids.
Yep. So you've been around.
Been around.
Now, geez, I have to ask now, is your time in England have any influence over a certain male character in this book?
Do you mean Arlo's dad?
Papa, yeah.
Yes. I mean, yes. I mean, like, who?
Roy. Roy, sorry, yeah.
Yes.
Yes, Roy. Yes.
Roy.
No, not Vahan. Not Vahan.
I'm like, oh, wait a minute. What did I do? Because I wrote so much of the story out of order by the time I ended up doing revisions. And I'm just like, wait a minute.
That's no spoiler to say. I think it's okay. We're allowed to say Roy. Roy is English. We're allowed to say that, right?
Yeah.
That sounds cool.
Well, I mean, my dad's side, clearly, Shuttleworth is very English. Right.
So there you go.
That's where all my dad's life, side of the family's from.
Art imitating life, I guess we'll say.
Yes.
And talk a little about your South Korean adventure.
I mean, it was amazing.
Yes, right. But like, what was it? Was the plan just to go there for a fixed amount of time and come back? Did it end up staying longer than you planned? How did that?
No, I actually ended up staying shorter than I planned.
Oh, okay.
I have not the greatest immune system.
Okay.
So teaching was really hard. on that, because anytime a kid caught cold, I would get it.
Right.
I got really sick. Like, I was hospitalized while I was over there, and pretty much every day after that was sick with some form of cold, and, you know, I had pneumonia, and we were like, at the end of the year, my director's like, you can come back, but maybe you should go home for a little bit. Yeah,
go get better and then come back when you're not
and I was like, I physically don't know if I can make it. Loved it, but yeah, no.
Oh, that's too bad. So then the pandemic is definitely not ideal for you.
But here we are still working.
But here we are. Yep. And I assume you haven't had any health scares with this pandemic, I hope.
Actually, we're more or less sure that I already had it, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
When it first hit, I was just coming through Toronto for a Final Fantasy convention.
Mm-hmm.
And I was extremely ill upon getting home.
Right.
In a lot of significant ways that we were like,
Right, right. Did you ever find out, though, for sure, if that's what it was, or...
No, I go through my life just trying to ignore as many things as possible.
Sure, understood.
But I haven't been that sick since I got the both strands of that massive H1N1 virus. I got that too.
Okay.
When I was in university. Right. They're like, you should have been in the hospital. Fine.
Yeah, just give me some medicine.
My doctor was like, are you okay? Because I went in afterwards because I have bad asthma.
Okay.
And they were like, oh my God. You should maybe be in here. I'm like, nope, gotta go to school.
So self-isolating then is probably the best thing for you. It sounds like against your health and your writing. It's great for writing too, right? Sadly, it hasn't really cramped my style that much either. I don't have much of a life outside of conventions and stuff. So it's been not the most difficult of periods for me anyways, as far as that goes. Before we get into the book a little bit, I do want to ask you about, you were a wine merchant for a bit at a wine store.
I am currently a wine merchant.
Oh, you still are? Okay. Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. I guess you haven't made that switch yet. Have you too?
Full? No,
not yet.
I that is the goal, but it's still, you don't really get paid until your book comes out.
That is true. You haven't earned out yet. Right.
So no,
You will. Don't worry. Next time we talk, you'll be too busy to talk to me. You'll be
no.
Yeah, yes, don't worry. I personally like a good Malbec. What's your favorite wine?
I really like the Bac de Noirs.
Okay.
Favorite. Depends on my mood though.
I will say though, yeah, it does depend. I it's the time I'm summer, I'm white wine. Every other season, I switched to Malbec, but yeah, my favorite though is Argentinian Malbec. Is
Argentinian wines are great.
That's my.
Those favorite. Are getting popular now, which is again good because they're cheap and they're beautiful. Same with South African wines.
Yep.
And...
Oh, I'm not a wine snob. Like, I'm not like, well, this tastes a little peaty. it's like, I don't care if it costs a dollar. I'll drink it. But I do like what I like. So, Argentinian Malbecs are definitely my favorite. And it goes from there. But are you open right now? Are you or no?
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
I've been working this entire pandemic. I'm very tired. Do you know how many people drink now?
even more so, right? Yeah.
And it was funny because I can like still remember the day that everyone decided this was finally a thing back in the last March that we had to face.
Right.
And they announced where I live that schools are closed. And I was just innocently coming into my work shift. And I think we did like twice what our Christmas sales were in like 3 hours.
Wow.
I just kind of went home and was like, oh no.
Right.
And it's been that way ever since. So,
well, it's no coincidence either that where I live, I'm just outside of Toronto now, but Okay. There's six pot shops have opened up in the last year around mm-hmm. me within driving distance of me. I'm next to a reserve.
We have a couple. I live in a very small town. So.
I'm kind of small, but I'm next to a reserve. So I'm up in Southampton. I don't know if you know where that is, but I'm next to a reserve, and there's a handful of pot shops have popped up there, and then we've got a couple in town now, and it's just mm-hmm. and everyone's indoors, right? So everyone's including me getting high and drinking lots of and drinking lots of wine. It's great.
Well, that's all we're doing right now.
That's all we're doing. So, anyways, I like to just I don't know. I always I like to get a feel for how people are handling it, what they're up to, and so that's it. Sounds like you've got a life hasn't changed that much for you. It doesn't sound like it anyways, but
no, actually it's been pretty much business as usual, just more indoors now.
Friends and family. And of course I hope all your friends and family are healthy and safe as can be.
Yeah, we've been fairly lucky.
All right, that's good. A dark and hollow star. Now I don't know how we're going to talk about this goddamn thing without spoilers, but we're going to try a little bit, and I'm going to post a little warning at the beginning of it. So if we do slip, then that's okay too.
Okay.
I'm going to read the summary because it's shorter than most, and thank goodness for that, because summaries are way too fucking long these days. It drives me nuts. this is a beautiful summary. So I enjoyed it so much. I'm going to read it again. So, you ready? Choose your player. Choose your player. The Ironborn half-fey outcast of her royal fey family, a tempestuous fury, exiled to Earth from the immortal realm and hellbent on revenge. My favorite. A beautiful fey prince determined to earn his place on the throne. A sweet, handsome boy. And the prince's brooding guardian, burdened with a terrible secret, the bad boy Emo, who is amazing, amazing, amazing. And I only want... I got to keep reading the summary first, but I keep I'm interrupting myself. But for centuries, the eight courts of folk have lived among us, concealed by magic and bound by law to do no harm to humans. This arrangement has long kept peace in the courts until a series of gruesome and ritualistic murders rocks the city of Toronto and threatens to expose fairies to the human world. Four queer teens, each who hold a key piece of the truth behind these murders, must form a tenuous alliance in their effort, effort to track down the mysterious killer behind these crimes. If they fail, they risk the destruction of the fairy and the human worlds alike. If that's not bad enough, there's a war brewing between the mortal and immortal realms, and one of these teens is destined to tip the scales. The only question is which way. Wish them luck. They are going to need it. I was thinking the tenuous alliance part. There's a couple scenes at the end I was thinking about between a couple of them that didn't always get along.
They don't. None of my kids know how to play with each other.
Yeah, they luckily for the fate of the mortal and immortal world, they kind of get it together. But so listen, it's always important. You have to keep the reader's attention. That's the point of a book. That's the point of the story. To do that, you need a pretty good main character. You've got four pretty good main characters. I would say pretty good to great. To be honest with you, it almost seems like an embarrassment of riches in a lot of ways, because I think any of them could lead a story by themselves, and if you wanted to pair them off, you could have done that as well. Like, I mean, more than you, I mean, have their own story, completely their own story.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, you know, my question is, let's talk about a little sort of character development a little bit here. Like, as you were, what came first, the story or the characters? And then talk about coming up with these four characters who, like I said, are all just really fucking great. Like, I mean, we're allowed to say their names, right? I mean, you've got Arlo.
Yeah, and,
of course.
Arlo and Nausicaa.
I love it. Okay, thank you for Nausicaa, because I kept saying Nausicaa and it never felt right. But Nausicaa, yes, Arlo.
Everybody.
Yes, Nausicaa.
It's not Nausicaa, not from Studio Ghibli.
Right.
Nausicaa is a Greek mythology name.
Speaking of Studio Ghibli, have you seen Wolfwalkers? I just saw that the other day for the first time.
No.
It's an
Irish... I love the Studio Ghibli movies.
So do I. Spirited Away is, one of my favorite movies of all time. It's an Irish film, actually.
Oh, God, yeah. Spirited Away.
It's the best. It's an Irish film, actually, but it's Studio Ghibli's got a part of it, a piece of it, and it's up for all these awards and anything. It's an Irish film. It's English-speaking and the whole bit. It was a pretty... Check it out. It's pretty good.
I'll have to.
It's pretty good. So anyway, we've got Arlo Charsdale, Nausicaa. Gosh, she goes by so many names. Alecto, Nausicaa, Darkstar. Are we allowed to say that? Kraken. And and then our beautiful boys, Aurelien Bissell, and is it Vahan? How do you say Vahan?
Vahan
Listern.
Yeah, Vahan.
So there's your four characters. What came first, the story, the characters, and then talk about sort of developing these four?
That's kind of a hard question. I would say, I guess the characters came first.
Okay.
In that I salvaged Nausicaa from the first story I wrote.
Oh, okay.
Repurposed her for this one. And I had...
Glad you did.
Yeah. It's so funny to me that people like her, to be perfectly honest. Because I spent so much of the story being like, yeah, I don't know, people are probably going to hate her.
No.
Oh, well.
No.
And then everyone's like, I really like Nah. It's like, oh, okay, that's nice. That's a nice surprise.
I thought you wrote her so well. Listen, you wrote everyone well. I'm not going to I'm not going to pick ships or pick teams or anything. But, I mean, I'm Team Nah for sure. But you wrote her so well. You know, you have this sort of running bit with her, which I thought was hilarious. Every time you reintroduce her back into the story, you do so with her with a funny line from her. You know what I mean? Like it's usually in defense of Arlo, but it's always like a funny, you know, like at the coffee shop, right?
Very quippy.
Very quippy. Yeah, for sure. And like, I always when I noticed that pattern, I just kept looking forward to it. It was just always so great. So she was a holdover from your first story idea. Mm-hmm. How much?
Actually, so were Aurelien and Vahan.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's really Arlo who knew.
Okay.
It was like a completely different story. Just these characters, I liked them so much. A number of them, even Elias was
right
from the original
story. Okay. How much did they change at all?
Oh God, yeah.
A lot, yeah.
Like all of them, even Nausicaa, who was originally like a badass former mermaid.
Because oh, I really okay.
Like mermaids,
right?
But
so she wasn't a fairy at first.
To fit her better.
You had a pretty good idea of what they were like, though, when you sort of, you know, put pen to paper for A Dark and Hollow Star.
Yes, but also no.
Right.
For instance, in the like the first thing I ever wrote, Vahan was dead. He wasn't actually a character. Oh, poor Vahan. So I remember
he wishes he was. When his mother's around, he wishes he was dead.
Sure. Vahan was the one that needed some heavier work.
Okay.
Through my agents, because everyone be like, you know, what is Vahan doing here? And I'm like, to be perfectly honest, I don't really know. He never was the character for me until now, and then right. he just kind of developed once I started adding his point of views, and I found they really. Both him and Aurelien really took on their own character much more. Very different from their original forms in the previous book.
Which is crazy to me, having read the book, because of how vital his side of the story is to, right? To the whole thing.
Yeah, well, see, that was the thing, too, yeah. Because I wrote this story, and then my editor was like, you know, these boys are really important to this. Maybe we should add a point of view for them. Like, it's probably true.
They are lovely boys, and
hey, I love them.
Yes, I do too. What about this? You know, this thing, or this idea of, you know, destruction versus banishment, especially, you know, with the immortals. Was that sort of in it from the beginning, or was that?
Yeah,
that was.
The prologue was always there. That was always the only chapter from Nausicaa's point of view was the prologue.
Okay. It's a great, I love a good prologue. I was talking to an author last week. There was this thing on Twitter, maybe it was a month ago or something, and somebody was going on about being snarky and like, does anybody read prologues anymore? I'm like, yeah, I fucking read prologues. I love prologues. And I mean, and also who am I? And who am I? Like, right. Well, and also, but you wrote it. Why would I, like, who am I to not read it? Right? Well, and also, to me, it's part of the story. Why would you skip? It'd be like, it'd be like just skipping a chapter, like picking a chapter and skipping.
Yeah, no, makes you no do. Sense.
I understand, you know, what their purpose serves and I get all that, but I read everything. I read the acknowledgments, the author's notes, the front to backs. I read books from cover to cover. And that, oftentimes some of the best stuff is in like the author's acknowledgments and the thank yous. And a lot of
time, I like those too.
Yeah. I'm a junkie for that stuff. One of the things I really loved about Nausicaa's character too, is this idea of being, I read another book recently called Sweet and Bitter Magic. I don't know if you know that one or not, Adrian Tooley.
Yes, I do know Adrian's book very well.
You've read Sweet and Bitter Magic then?
Yes.
Like,
it's beautiful.
But... I know, right? I mean, I was a master in that book. I was sick. I was like, just do it already. But anyways. A lot of teasing.
I love Adrian. She's such an amazing author.
I'm talking to her. When am I talking to her? Soon.
Good.
I'm very excited to talk to her about that.
Oh, she's lovely.
So then you know this is great. I don't even have to really explain this to you. This idea of being heartless as a condition, mm-hmm. right? Not just an emotional state. And even though, you know, Nausicaa it's not a condition necessarily for her, but it might as well be, right?
Yes.
So that was there from day one as well. This thing where like she has this, I'll keep saying condition, but trust me, I just because I'm dumb and I can't think of a better word. You know, here's this incredible being, right? Nausicaa. I mean, beast, man, woman, whatever, could have anybody she wants. It's going to take someone of great strength and courage and power to break that wall, right?
Yeah.
So was that sort of how you were thinking when you were coming up with, so you have this, you know, this, again, this condition with her, and you're like, for someone to break through that, it's going to have to be somebody pretty incredible. And so that, is that sort of where, like, when you started thinking about what Arlo was going to be, was that in your mind at all?
I'm going to be perfectly honest. No.
Okay. Well, that's fair.
I don't, plan my characters.
Okay.
I am a huge pander when it comes to running. They take on their form and how they respond to each other. I mean, obviously in my head, I know, okay, so my favorite pairing is going to be Nausicaa and Arlo. Mm-hmm. And I'll go into it and be like, well, I sure hope to God they have chemistry. Because that's kind of just like, it kind of takes off from there. I mean, there's a lot going on. Nausicaa has quite a bit going on with her mental health.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And... to be perfectly honest, they all do. They all have quite a lot going on.
Yes, agreed. Oh, yeah.
But
I'm, yeah, like if I was going to ship, it's Arlo and Nausicaa. Like,
yeah, I mean, yeah, there's no secret. That's my ship here.
Right.
I have my flower girl and my dark girl. Like.
Sure. And I mean, you know, there's the other half of, you know, of the squad, there's some stuff, there's history there. And, yes. You know, it's not as, you know, that doesn't maybe resolve itself. Not in this book anyways. Hopefully it does further down the road, because, you know, they are both hot and sweet and and they're just really honorable and they're really courageous, which I love about all your characters. I love courage, right? I don't care how powerful they are. I just want them to be courageous, and they are, and that's great. And it takes a bit of pushing for some characters more than others who are a little more, have a little more, you know, bravado. Yeah. But, hopefully things work out for the other half as well. But one of the things,
I'm a big fan of happily ever afters.
Yeah, well, I'm a huge,
people work for it.
Well, that's great. No, that's good to hear. I'm a huge sap, right? So when I in my fiction, so I love that. And Arlo is so sweet on Nas. I mean, it takes it doesn't even really take that long, but it's just one of those things where, you know, I really like, I've gone back and read this book, but only their chapters. Because I just look forward to those.
they're good to each other.
They are, and I love that. It's so sweet so many times, and then, like, you know, there's just so much great back and forth, and it's really just some, I thought it was really,
that makes me happy to hear.
Yeah, I thought it was really, you know, some of your best dialogue is so clever, some of it.
I think Nausicaa is easier because that's the way I talk naturally.
Okay.
Like,
right.
Yeah, there's about 90% more swear words in my vocabulary, but it's only one. It's only one particular swear word.
I would, like, say it. You could say it. I've probably said it already.
Yeah, I know. I was like, oh, we can swear.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I just have a natural kindergarten teacher mode.
Oh, that's fair. This is a comfortable, safe space. You be what, you say whatever you want to say. That's no problem.
Yeah.
It's funny how, like, you know, you can curse up a storm, but if you said any spoilers, I would have to go back and edit that. It's a weird world we live in. So, you know, one of the things in my review that I said was, you know, it's easy to pinpoint what makes this book so great. And like the world, like, yes, the characters are amazing and they have to be great because, especially if it's a series, they have to be great for that much longer. Right? You have to keep everyone's attention for that much longer. Right. Yep. But none of this, and again, though, none of this works without the world building either. Right. Especially, you know, this isn't like a contemporary book. Right. I mean, even though Toronto exists already and you do a great job as a former resident, you know, it was great to, you know, read you know, Casa Loma and all the different places. And, you know, it's always fun when that happens, for sure. Who'd have thought there was this so much going on in Toronto? I didn't even know all that. But
stuff going on in Toronto.
There's some weird, the cafe. Yeah, I had no idea.
Good Vibes Only is not a real cafe.
I know that.
wait a minute.
No, I know.
That's dumb.
But listen, this whole thing, you know, falls apart if the world building isn't, and within that world building, you have world building, and then you've got, you know, these principles of magic and all these rules that immortals and immortals have to follow. And, you know, you could have made it easier on yourself, but you didn't. You've got courts, and within those courts are courts, and you've got sealies, unsealies, you know. How did you map all this out? Like, and I know you said, you know, you sort of like let things come to you. It's a more natural sort of expression, but you know, there's a lot here to make sense of and a lot to keep track of. Surely you must have had some type of system in place when you were putting this thing together. Please tell me you had a system in place when you put this together. Because if you just threw this out there,
if you want to know why I didn't sleep at all for like 3 years, it's because I was too afraid of forgetting things.
Understood.
I didn't write things down.
Okay.
No, there were no notes. There became notes once I got an editor.
Right.
I'm sure it is a little bit reflected. Like, I feel like book two has far more structure to it because I have learned how to outline since writing this story.
Right.
But I got an agent and an editor, there were, you know, notes had to be made. I think specifically they made me. Like, can I have an Excel sheet? And I was like, okay, fine.
Like, you're like, just gotta write one up.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, we'll pretend I had that. No, we didn't pretend. I had to ask my editor how to make an Excel sheet. I didn't know what Excel was.
Right.
But I do have loose notes. I don't know. I think I've been immersed in this world for so long.
Right. I was going to, it's
kind
one
of
thing,
like second nature to me now.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I was going to bring up is obviously there's a strong, you know, D&D influence, and, you know, obviously you like to go to conventions, you like to cosplay, you're into gaming. I mean, these are all like, you know, world building sort of, you know, things. Right.
Yeah.
So, and obviously D&D is very, you mentioned it in the book, because it's no hiding that, you know, aspect of your own personality. Right. So is that, did all that stuff really sort of help you? Is that what you're saying along the way? Like just being, you know, whether it was, you know, just having to conceive of
no
worlds
secret.
And characters and.
Yes.
You know, yeah.
I make no secret that I owe a lot of my ability to world build to the type of games that I play, like massive RPGs.
Yep.
Because of how involved they have to be to
of course
to stand up against any other game. Like they are like any book, they're building a world, but then I have to do it in so many ways because you have to be able to see that world.
Sure. It's yeah, but it's another thing to have to express it on paper, and then not only that, but in a way that's not only, you know, sort of congruent, but has a specific flow that, you know, it's not just words to form a sentence, form a paragraph, make a chapter. Like it's, you know, there's an old, there's a big picture, especially when you're talking a trilogy and you four books at one point you thought of, you know, there's a thing there in place now where you have to think bigger. You know, was that at any point sort of like a too daunting for you, even though, yes, you've been spending your whole life preparing, preparing to tell stories, right? And being, you're very creative, obviously, you're very smart, obviously. But listen, hey, let's, you know, transferring that into a medium is different. That is a whole different thing, right? Yeah. Was there any point where you were like, I'm out? Or was this like, no, I meant to do this. There's no way I'm quitting now.
I mean, there's two.
I don't mean, there are a lot of times. I'm sure self-doubt is part of, I know that's, that's part of the thing. I know that. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause in order to do this again, this is a very tiring thing. It requires a lot of energy to write a book this size with this amount of intricacies, and
I agree.
I will say, not even like I owe the majority of being able to do this to my editor, who is the best at also world building. So anything in this book, I'm gonna say like 90% of the things are here because my editor. I don't know if you've ever seen that Riker video. I can't remember what his real name is, but Riker from Star Trek. He did this other show, and it was like Weird Mysteries or whatever. but like this compilation of like, what would happen if, you know,
I was
at, well, really save a little girl's life. It was like, this is my editor asking all of these questions in the sideline to get this information out of my head.
I do know his name, and I actually rode an elevator with him at the last Toronto Comic Con, right? So it's in this, you know, there's Comic Con and this, people don't know this that don't live here. We have Comic Con is actually not our biggest con in the city of Toronto. Fan Expo is, but Fan so he Expo. Was so yeah, I was
you've at made it to like one Fan Expo.
They're like, I get anxiety in large crowds, and it takes me like a while. Like once I kind of, even though I've been to that convention center a million, been going to Fan Expo almost since it started, I get anxiety. So it takes me a bit before I like remember, oh yeah, this is how you get there and get there and get there. But it, once I'm settled, I'm just, I, there's nowhere else I'd rather be. But anyways, yeah, Jonathan Frakes is his name. And I rode an elevator with him at the Comic-Con last spring. And I was, it was just by chance. And I got in, he was there, and he's freakishly tall. And I mean, like, I'm not short. I'm like 5'11", right? I'm like an average dude, I guess. And he was like a fucking giant. He was like Andre the Giant. He was tall. Anyways, we had like a really great.
More intimidating.
Big time, right? Yeah, and he's Riker, and he's big, and he's got that, he's still got the beard, and anyways, we had a very, very nice, like, 22-second conversation. So, it's just, yeah, anyways, that reminded me of that. Thank you for that wonderful memory.
You're welcome.
I'm trying to...
answer your question. There are moments when it's like, oh my god, can I really keep doing this?
Sorry, before
the amount of work... Sorry,
yeah, what? I don't want to just totally destroy your train of thought here, but just because I want to make sure we mention her, Sarah McCabe is your editor.
Yes.
And just because you've mentioned her a few times now, and editors are like the
godsend.
Yeah, like I know.
Although now I don't trust that I'm saying her last name right. Ever since we found out that it's like McElderry is how you say my publisher instead of McElderry. Yeah, McElderry.
Well,
I no longer have trust for how I'm saying her last name.
Okay, well, then I'm saying it McCabe, and if I'm saying it wrong, then please give...
I said it, but now I don't know.
I'll give Sarah my apologies if we're saying it wrong, but goddamn, it looks like McCabe, but anyways.
Right? Well, it looks like McElderry, but guess, here we are.
Nausicaa.
Sarah is an amazing editor, and she's so good for picking out the things that I need in order to actually make my world building work.
Okay.
But it's so much. The world building is so much. Sometimes I get like, I sit here and I'm like, wow, what have I done to myself?
Right.
How am I going to manage this?
Yeah.
But then I remind myself, this is exactly what I love doing. This is like, you know, you get tired, but.
Well, that's.
To build worlds. Yeah. This is exactly what I want to be doing. So once I get over this, usually if I haven't had enough sleep, to be perfectly honest, and then, you know, sleep it off, drink some water, eat some food. Usually then I remind myself that this is going just fine.
Yeah, that's all it takes sometimes, right? It's just a little reset, and you're like, oh yeah, I'm writing an awesome book, and I'm awesome, and people are gonna love me, and that's just the way it goes.
That rarely happens, but it's mostly like you started it, and we're gonna finish it.
No. I'm gonna be stalking you now, so don't worry.
Sometimes it's like you wrote a good book, but then I just
you've already got to, yeah. Well. Listen, no matter what, I'll be in line. I'll, you know, if that line's a line of Thank one, you. It'll be me. So I'm in.
Thank you.
So it's hard to like, there's no good elevator pitch for this book, but anyone out there listening, like I'm telling you, this world
I have an elevator pitch.
Do you? Do you want to say it?
No.
No?
I guess now I have to.
Well, you don't have to, but I'm just saying it's probably going to be better than mine. I don't know. Why should people buy this book?
That is not an elevator pitch.
Well,
that
no,
is...
true enough. Well, I already read the summary. No,
I so I can write the next one.
No, that's honest and no, and that's fair.
Because
you know you're gonna have to answer this question a lot the next few weeks, right? Like, what's the book about? What's the book about? Where'd you get the inspiration? What's the inspiration?
So
for
many
this story?
Interview questions recently, writing them out.
Yeah. Oh, that's smart.
The written interviews.
Okay. Well, it's, you know what? I'll let you off the hook then. I'm going to tell everyone why they should buy this book.
Okay.
A Dark and Hollow Star, to me, I read this in one sitting, and it's a big book. What do we? It's just over. That's acknowledgments. 499 pages. So I've read a couple of other reviews on it. They didn't get it. And now that they're in the minority, those reviews, because this is overwhelmingly getting positive reviews. And the reason is because the world building is fantastic. It's deep. It's rich. There's a lot of stuff a lot of people are going to recognize for sure. You know, if you've read or immersed in these worlds at all. And that doesn't hurt the book. It helps it. But not only that, you've created four leads that are outstanding. And their stories are each, yes, they're, you know, obviously this story is about convergence, right? Their lives are intersecting, but each of their stories on their own, which you give plenty of time to, are emotionally resonant. I think they're all beautiful. I love them all. I would protect them dearly with my life. And anyone out there, you want to get in on this series from the ground up. Don't wait till book two and be like, oh, yeah. Like get this now.
Get in on the ground.
Get in on it. You won't regret it. It's this book has.
And I mean, just everybody, there are two teams. They're like, there's the Nos team and then there's Team Celadon. So
right.
I think that in itself, you need to read the book to find out what team you're on. So
we haven't even talked about Celadon. Like, this is what I'm saying. Like,
I love Celadon.
I love the when he goes to pick
and
her up at school.
And everyone asks me who my favorite character is. Oh, yes.
Is it Celadon?
Everyone asks me who.
Okay.
No, it's not.
Oh.
He's one of my, I love him dearly. He is not my favorite character.
Oh, who's your favorite
character? I've said it before. I rate my favorite characters based on how much leather they wear, like any proper Final Fantasy game. There's one person that wears all the leather and all of the silver.
It's not.
He is an asshole.
Oh, it's H. Right?
L.
L? Who am I missing then? I'll look after, or you can tell me later. Who am I missing? I almost was gonna say M, but she's pretty good. Right, M's pretty good. anyways, this book is full of great characters. Yeah, we didn't even talk about, there's so many, and we just barely scratched the surface here, people. So I'm telling you, get in on this thing from the ground up. You're gonna love it. It's got everything. It's got heart, emotion, a ton of adventure. The whole thing, this whole thing is a murder mystery, which like is crazy too. The ending is insane. You're gonna like fall out of your chair when you get to this ending, because you're gonna and you're immediately gonna want more. Please buy this book. It comes out February 23rd, I think, still, right? Is that the date still? Yeah.
So. Yes, that's the thing. Still, well, people are getting their pre-orders early, which is both exciting and nerve-wracking.
Well, pre-orders are really great for business, and they're really great for the publishers. Love to see that. So that's the best way to do it.
Counts towards first week sales. I think a lot of people ask me, "So, oh my God, does it still count?" I'm like, yes,
it does. Yeah,
no matter when they ship it, it still counts.
I've
told.
Personally, don't like pandemic profiteers, so I don't like to recommend that bald guy if we don't have to. How would you prefer people buy this book, and from where? Is there any local shops in Toronto that you'd like to get people drive business towards?
Well, I mean, yes, but
ultimately, anyway, listen, right now, right? Well, yeah, it's exactly.
There's like you don't have any deals. Shop and Back of Phoenix is great.
Yep.
But I don't. Nothing's really open right now.
Just any way they can get your hands on it.
Any way, yeah. You know, order from any independent bookstore is excellent. Simon & Schuster, CA, and the US one, they both have website with all the links that you could possibly want for where to find these books.
That is true.
Yeah.
Listen, everyone knows how.
And obviously, my website also has them. But yeah.
Yeah. No. Everyone understands. I think that, you know, independence is the way to go these days. But I didn't know if you had any sort of book signed book deals with any local shops or anything like that. But
it's been so hard. That was part of the whole pandemic thing for me. I can't make it anywhere right now. I mean, like with Ontario itself being on such strict lockdown right now, I can't even like travel outside of my city. So
yeah, well, no,
and I don't have a bookstore in my town, so
that is just like,
so there's, I'm like, everyone's like, where can I pre-order signed copies? And then I'm just over here crying. It's fine, don't worry.
That's,
I'm sorry.
I my town is small-ish, but I have a bookstore, I have a record store, I have a comic book store, so I'm good. AshleyShuttleworth.com is where we can find out everything else that you've got going on. Ashley, thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time to come by and chat. Yeah, I mean, I do love this book. You know that. Please, please, please enjoy your release day and week and month. Try and get some sleep. I know you won't, especially not on the night. Well, you won't for sure on the night before, but really enjoy it. You've earned it. And make sure you get those unboxing videos up there. There you have it, another episode of Everything is Canon all wrapped up. Huge thanks to Ashley for taking the time to speak with me. I had a great time talking to them all about this really fun book, which I definitely recommend. Head on over to AshleyShuttleworth.com to find out all the exciting things Ashley has going on and how to pick up a copy of A Dark and Hollow Star. As Black History Month comes to a close, just a reminder that supporting Black authors and all authors of color shouldn't be relegated to just the shortest month of the year. Please do what you can each and every month. As always, be sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you choose to listen, and head on over to cinelinks.com for the latest movie, TV, books, and gaming news. Please continue to be safe out there. Bye for now.